This podcast was sponsored by Peach the Label, Australia's go-to destination for mid and plus-size fashion.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We at Fat and Eyes pay our respect to the traditional custodians of the Meanjin land. This land is and always will be Aboriginal land. Is this thing on? Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand spanking new episode of the Fat and Eyes podcast. I am your host, Demi Lynch, and we are here today to talk about the issues and topics that relate to the plus size community, that relate to all our fat bitches out there. I'm very excited for today's guest. We have Sev. They are a disabled drag artist. And they have a lot to say.
Always. Can't keep me quiet. Demi, thank you so much for having me. Excited to share in some fat joy, rage, discussion, debate. Let's make it happen.
Yes, I'm just so keen to just pick out your brain. I think this is what I said to you in the messages, because yes, this is what your bio says. You are Lord Severus, disabled drag daddy. I'm so keen to pick out your brain. Really, really am.
I've dedicated a lot of time to being very out and very open about not just my ridiculous artistic exploits, but also just my experiences as a fat person, as a trans non-binary person, as a disabled person, the things I discover about myself, about the world, about intersectionality with every lived year in this body, gift and a curse, fuel for the fire of way too many opinions. So looking forward to venting some of them.
Yes. Well, the first topic here, I think you're going to have a lot to vent about, because I've been keeping my thoughts about this in for the last couple of days so I can vent it to you. So as many of you know, we recently had Australia Day, or as normal people should probably call it, Invasion Day. Australia Day, that's just, no. We do not. Invasion Day. So
no celebration of genocide in this house. Thank you very much.
No, we do not celebrate intergenerational trauma. If you do, why are you listening to this podcast? But on that particular day, we had the Australian of the Year Awards, and the main one, Australian of the Year Award, went to a woman named Taryn Brumfitt. Now, she is a body image activist. She's all about body positivity. Quick little rundown. Basically, a while ago, she put out a documentary called Embrace, which was all about, you know, body image, body acceptance, yada yada. And then she also, I think it was a couple years ago or just recently, she had Embrace Kids. So her activism nowadays is more about, you know, body image for kids, that kind of thing. Now, I have to preface this. She is a thin white woman. And I think what's important to discuss is that, yes, it's great that body positivity is getting, you know, the platform, all that type of thing, but she's an acceptable activist. Would you or would you not agree, Sev, on this?
Right. So, look.
Crack the knuckles, get ready. Yes.
I think the first thing I want to say is really important, that I'm not here to tell anybody that there isn't a correct face of activism, mm-hmm. particularly once you have a platform, particularly if you go viral. Using that platform to create positivity, support it, love mm-hmm. it. Do I think that her work is important, that it has a solid message, and that it reaches a lot of people who absolutely need it? 100%. I just want to say right now that I can't really talk about this subject without also talking about themes that may be potentially triggering. So I would just like to put in a content warning right now. I will not get into details. There will be like brief mentions of eating disorders, body image, you know, and some of the things that that can lead to, particularly in children, but also across adulthood, and in my experiences, particularly in the queer scene as well. It's super important. And I think her having this target of like having programs that support messages for children, I'm actually 100% behind. And I've, a lot of the commentary and the responses I've seen that have had some negative, you know, spins on it, some of it valid criticism, some of it a little bit too nitpicky. I remember, like, I'm only speaking for myself as a trans person. I know that my, you know, my journey and my experiences of myself aren't the same as other trans people. We're not a monolith. Our experiences are not all the same. But I identify very closely with my childhood as a young girl, even though I do not identify as a woman now, even though I'm not a woman now. My experiences and were very shaped by being both a young girl and having unresolved, ununderstood gender concerns as well. And as a young girl growing up, I was already, like, I started having chronic health issues when I was very young and started having hormone issues when I was very young. And this related in a lot of weight related issues that as a young person, I was already feeling under a lot of pressure about, and definitely resulted in some pretty damaging behaviors and thoughts for myself. But I feel actually very lucky because I watched other young girls and women go through absolute hell. And this isn't a modern thing. This isn't necessarily a social media thing. This isn't a new media thing, although that definitely ramps things up. I'm talking 20 years ago, 30 years ago, watching children develop eating disorders. Watching young children whose favorite pastime was watching Next Top Model and growing up fantasizing about being Victoria's Secret's models. Like, I remember this huge scrutiny on the bodies of literal children, particularly people who were discovering their identity, developing their brains, learning things. You know, I as an athletic pre-16-year-old, strong, larger, broader in the shoulders than my friends, current at the time, undiagnosed hormone imbalances and polycystic ovarian syndrome and all of these other fun things. But like, I had diets suggested to me, pushed on me at 14, 15. I was athletic. I was busy. I was active. I just had a slightly larger body than the people around me, and taking on those messages so young, oh, it is so damaging. So look, arming children with a preemptive message before they reach that point of body acceptance, body neutrality, I fully support it. I love that. Get it into schools. Get it in the faces of children who deserve to have preparation for the world of bombardment that they are going to suffer at the hands of cosmetics industry and diet industry and fashion industry, and just the way that particularly young women, but other people too, are sexualized at young ages. And children deserve some grounding in critical thinking around these areas. Beyond that, Taryn is also, I believe, only the 13th woman to ever win Australian of the Year. And I believe we're at 50 plus men who have won it over the years. So I'm not prepared to come out of the gate swinging at a woman who is trying to do the best she can by children.
Yeah.
But
then there's the big but.
The thing I am most famous for, the big but.
Yeah.
I do, obviously, there is lots to talk about when it comes to the acceptable face of body positivity. Yes. And I will get into that, absolutely. But I just like my laser beam focus in right now in the how quickly, in her own words, in her own speech of acceptance in her own social media posts, how quick she is to lay out all of these plans and ideals and immediately have the caveat of, I'm not glorifying obesity, though. And then hinging her points on how loving your body is going to make you take better care of it and is going to make it possible to be active, is going to make it possible to access diet and exercise, and the fact that that caveat is immediately required. Now, I kind of get it because I live in the internet, a place where I am consistently told that showing my fat, naked, trans body unashamed is disgusting, or that I need to take responsibility, that I don't care for myself, and that I'm glorifying obesity in any way. And I love to ask these people, like, am I also glorifying disability? Am I also glorifying transness? I mean, cool. sure. But I'm not. We know that existing in our bodies isn't about glorifying shit.
Mm-hmm.
I just live here, man. Like,
yeah,
this is just where I live. And I don't. I hate this caveat of, like, I promise we're not promoting obesity, and we're just talking about having, like, a bit of a mum tum, and kids having positivity. Yay. Overlooking this, firstly, the main grounding and need for body neutrality, body positive spaces, that I get it. I have been in that place where I have scrutinized every part of myself and I've hated my body and I have felt messaging from literally everywhere, inside the home, outside the home, on the TV, in the classroom, in the people I wanted to date, we feel it from all sides, and some of it's conscious and some of it's affecting us subconsciously. I've been there. But also, there is at the core for me of body neutrality is this acknowledgement that I don't actually need to live in this state of I'm beautiful all the time, and I don't need to live in a constant argument about whether thin equals healthy or whatever. There are so many reasons that a person might be fat, mm-hmm. that a person might be plus size or gain weight rapidly. And there are so many reasons for that. And the minute you just throw obese people, I hate that fucking word, but the minute you throw, I'm not glorifying obesity, you're throwing fat people under the bus in your body positivity movement without addressing actually the core of most of these beliefs, which is an inherent fat phobia that people have and project on people whose bodies they are afraid of having themselves.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
As a disabled person, I feel this intersection so drastically because people are also terrified of the disabled. They might not realize that that's what it is, but some of them really do. And there is some actual active hatred. There is active disgust, but I think it mostly comes down to fear. The big thing for me and my disability activism is realizing that the vast majority of human beings will need services designed for disabled people at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Our aging population are exactly who are the main consumers of, like, accessibility devices and needs. Every single person, if they live long enough, will be in need of some accessibility from society. Disabled is one of those, few groups that you live long enough, you're going to join, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. But because it's connected to aging, another thing we associate with not being beautiful anymore. Of course, disability isn't about aging for all of us. Some of us just roll those dice and start out with a head start on that.
Yeah.
But as a disabled person whose body is deeply affected by my illnesses, I don't want cishet white women's pink pussy hat versions of body positivity. And I think it does it take over this space that should forefront the experiences and voices of marginalized people, of people who not just internally suffer with the pressures of the world that make self-hatred, particularly of one's body, so prevalent, but the external pressures that we people in those more marginalized fields, fat people, disabled people, people of color, trans people, you know, migrants, like we're so much more scrutinized. And these movements have existed for us, for empowerment, for communication, and for bucking the trends of mainstream messaging. So, like, I don't know. I've seen a little bit. I will completely be upfront right here. I have not watched Embrace yet. Mm-hmm. I should, and I cannot comment on it. I saw a few like little clips as I was doing some reading. And I do note that in a lot of her promotional footage, there are photo shoots featuring a nice diverse cast of models. Obviously, she has a platform now. What I would love to see our Australian of the Year use her platform for is to share it, is to invite other people onto that podium with her who can speak to the greater issues, the broader spread of the subject, and like where some of those deeper injustices are beyond, oh, we all get negative programming and the best thing to do is help kids, you know, be armed and forewarned of that. Okay, well, let's also, while we're using this platform to talk about body positivity, talk about how people from the marginalized groups I just mentioned don't get trusted around their own bodies when it comes to medical care, when it comes to transitioning, when it comes to being disrespected because of ridiculous stereotypes about pain tolerances. And truly focusing in on combating that messaging that fat equals bad, fat equals lazy, fat equals will just do something about it and just be happier and go for a walk and eat some fucking lettuce or whatever, as if I don't love being outside and don't love a decent fucking salad. And we need to not brush over the complexity of this issue. It requires so much nuance. But I'm aware, like, the internet and also 5-minute news stories are where nuance goes to die, and we can't have discussions, which is why I love a space like this. Thank you for giving space to talk about it.
You're most welcome. As soon as this story was coming about, I'm just like, where? Because when this obviously when something happens, people want to, like, you know, shout out their opinions. And a lot of the opinions I was hearing, of course, many were valid, many were interesting, but a lot of the opinions that were getting the attention was cisgender white women that don't have bodies that is limited in society because of how society treats fat people. Like, and I love what you said about the whole, like, yeah, it's all well and good to be like, oh, love your body, or just be neutral about your body. But it's just like, that's all well and good, but like, how am I supposed to love my body or appreciate my body or just not have bad body image if I cannot sit in a plane, or if I cannot seek medical treatment at a doctor without being shamed and just instantly being told, oh, you got to lose weight, even though you have a broken arm, even though you might have endometriosis, you got to lose weight. That's the only way to do things. Like, how are we meant to be body positive if the society doesn't cater to fat people? And I think it's still, people fear fatness. Like, even in Taryn's speech, like, it's just like, she was trying to say, I'm body positive, but don't worry. There's no fatness here. There's no fatness. Because I think internally she just knows people still fear fatness. And it's just exhausting. And I'm someone that is able-bodied and is fat, and I just cannot imagine what it must be like for people that have disabilities and are fat as well, or even just have disabilities. Like, I myself, as an able-bodied fat person, feel the limitations of society, just like with seats and buying clothes and going to doctors. But like, imagine having that extra thing as well. Like, I just cannot imagine it. So it's that's why it's so important. Like, you can't just have a thin, able-bodied, cisgender white woman the face of body positivity. And for a lot of people, like especially the older generations, especially the conservative people, especially, you know, people that don't, you know, follow LGBT related news stories or know a lot about disabilities and stuff like that, when they think body positivity, they're just going to think, oh, Taryn Brunfit, that's body positivity. I think that's the thing that scares me, is like, they're just going to think that's body positivity. Anything fatter than that, anything more than that, that's too much. It's
It is absolutely the concern. And it becomes difficult because I become more and more increasingly aware of the delicious and lovely echo chamber I have built for myself in my wonderful community spaces. It's getting a bit culture shocky now when I will look at what the sort of more mainstream public discourse and debate around a subject is. And look, being who I am with everything that I've got going on, it's driven me to be a lot more engaged in activism, community, seeking company in the constant fight and misery that is forced by how limiting and inaccessible a lot of society is.
Yeah.
And in that fight, you know, you become more aware, and you're surrounded by people who know the language of discussing these very complicated layers upon layers when it comes to prejudices in society. It's never as simple as, well, I think fat people are great, so there's no fat phobia here. Like, we all internalize, we all grow up with the same messages, or at least a version of the messages. For people who haven't had to consciously do the work because they haven't been presented with these barriers personally, it can be very easy to buy into narratives. And for what to us screams, okay, but like, don't throw the fattest people here under the bus. Don't, you know, with your, yeah, we're not promoting obesity. Like, well, maybe we could promote talking about it in a way that is conducive to actually not only including them in your movement, supporting us in your movement, but getting to the core of what your movement's about. Because, mm-hmm, like, with a front line in people's projected hatred against body image, right? It's not just about people hating themselves. And as a performer, it's an ongoing joke for, you know, burlesquers and drag artists. But the slightly salty, I totally understand where it comes from, but the feelings I get whenever a definitely well-meaning audience member gives me the "you're so brave" moment. And this is interesting to me because the fatter I get and the less apologetic I get about it, you know, I have been in a very large body for a very long time now. But there were periods in my early performance life when, in the burlesque, cabaret, fetish performance avenues, I was still committed to presenting an acceptable hourglass body. Didn't matter that I was big because I have a massive chest and a massive ass. And if I fuck my ribs up beautifully by overlacing my corset just to create the most outrageous hourglass shape possible, then people would just be like, "Oh, wow, you look fabulous," rather than, "Why is this fat bitch taking up all this time?" But the more I got unapologetic about it, and as I got older and I had more and more concerns with my physical health conditions and also my mental health conditions and the medications, all that rolled into one big happy time, more and more, "You're so brave. You're so brave. I could never do what you do." And I know it comes from a place that other people aren't happy or confident or comfortable in their own bodies. I totally hear that. And they see somebody like me, a person with a body that society tells them is wrong. And I'm doing what I do in a way that is usually pretty hypersexual, usually not, you know, making fatness at all the feature of what I'm doing. I'm not one of these performers who I'm constantly making food jokes or, you know, more cushion for the pushing or any of this. I'm just daddy, right? I'm just in the room and I'm there to take care of you, make you have a good time, maybe make you question what you're into a little bit with what I do. I think that's the bit that gets people, is that I haven't made it part of my persona, part of my gimmick. I'm just in this body. It's just my body. And when people say, you're so brave, I know what they mean is, I couldn't do it because I don't feel that way. I don't feel that safe or secure in my body. I'm worried about judgment and scrutiny. I have spent my whole life judging and scrutinizing my body. I know that's what they mean when they say it. I can hear it and feel it. I don't ever want to be disrespectful to that because, like, I get it. And the only thing that has helped me be less concerned about what anyone else thinks about my body is that I've practiced putting myself out there over and over again and pushing my own boundaries artistically to a point where my instrument, the shape and size of it doesn't matter. It's what I do with it. But I definitely, 10 years ago me, feeling really good after a show and then a couple of days later getting a link to a file with all of the event photos in and realizing I felt like I couldn't post a single one of them because I can see a double chin in that one and I can see cellulite in that one and I can see, like, I don't like the way my arm fat looks in that one. And doing that to myself and not being able to, not even wanting to post a single memory of this thing I did that I loved and my art that I worked hard on, because performance is ephemeral, that's literally all there is of that performance. And I've been there. I've scrutinized myself so extremely and lost, I didn't even save half of them, like lost my records of my own work. So I get it. But at the same time, what you're saying when you say that, you know, fat people are being brave and disabled people are being brave just by doing shit other people do, but doing it whilst fat or whilst disabled or whilst, you know, queer. You're just reinforcing this world where there is an expected way to look, to live. And I keep coming back to that whole, like, confidence is just courage, you know, in a different fucking dress.
Yeah.
And I feel that, and I'm not saying that it comes easy at all, but when you are forced into a place of, if I don't love and accept this body, literally maybe no one else ever will. I really felt like that for a while. Yeah. When people did love my body, it was usually in a highly fetishized way. And, you know, I've been a fetish performer and in that community for a really long time, so I can feel the difference between being, you know, accepted and being fetishized. And don't get me wrong, sometimes it's fun, sometimes I've profited off it, and sometimes I've you know, enjoyed going fishing for people who enjoy that shit. But the point is that real prejudice and real conflict against fatness and disability and transness has, like, pushed me to a place where I'm going to have to be the one to accept this body, to understand what's going on with this body, because I have decades of medical trauma from being denied, misunderstood, just told to lose weight constantly without any, for the most part, support around why I might actually be fat in the first place, around the fact that I have a documented history of eating disorders, of, again, don't want to go into a massive amount of detail, but, like, these things about body acceptance, I lost a lot of my teeth to daily vomiting. Yeah. I am also sick and poor and disabled and an artist not known for its, you know, massive fund generation abilities. So I can't even afford to fix a lot of the problems that these systemic issues brought up for me. Further adding to my, you know, the amount of stigma against having missing, visibly missing teeth. It can be really embarrassing. I can feel people judging me, and I have these questions come up. The idea that I might ever have to attend like a vanilla normal job interview again, and how I would immediately be perceived as a fat, shaved-headed trans person with missing teeth. I know what those programmed assumptions people are going to have are. They are going to make assumptions around my character, around my dedication. You know, if I can't look after my body, how trustworthy am I? Those programmed messages. Yeah. I must be lazy. I must be a slob. I must be, an active drug addict, which again, no addict shaming here. Mm. But these are the assumptions all linked to the way that I appear. And that barrier already, where those intersections become like really important to talk about, because if I can't even apply for a job like that without being judged purely on my physical and visual, my chances of getting a job that will pay me well enough or give me good enough healthcare benefits to actually address some of the issues caused by this long, complex, interwoven laundry list of medical issues that I have. How are we even supposed to address, get support, get help? Even if I did have that insurance, that security, those finances, the likelihood of a specialist even understanding, listening, and not just prescribing another thing that is going to attempt to help with weight loss, but actively end up damaging one of my other systems that is already so under strain from my chronic illnesses. Mind-blowing.
We'll be back in just a moment, but first I want to talk to you all about today's sponsor, Peach the Label. Peach the Label is making waves in the mid-size and plus-size space here in Australia. Firstly, and most importantly, Peach the Label is size inclusive. Their clothes range from size 14 through to 28. So as a size 24, 26 gal, this of course just makes my heart sing. Their clothes are also affordable, ethically sourced, and the fabrics are just so deliciously soft. As someone that cannot handle the heat and is pretty much sweating 24/7, Peach the Label is my go-to brand this hot summer. Peach the Label have been kind enough to offer our listeners a 20% discount store-wide. Use the code FATANIZE20 at checkout and get 20% off your entire order. Find your next summer wardrobe essentials at peachthelabel.com.au. Peach the Label, the boutique label for babes with a booty. Now, back to the podcast. So, another topic I do want to talk about with you, this has just been coming up in the past 24, 48 hours. I assume you've probably definitely have seen this about Sam Smith as someone that is prominent in the eye roll. Oh, yeah. So, as someone that is in the queer community and that also as your job as well, you're amongst the queer community, I can imagine there's been discussions. And so I'll give a bit of a brief rundown to listeners and then I'll ask you the question I'm really keen to hear your thoughts on. So brief rundown, Sam Smith, who I adore them. They are just this fabulous artist that, and they're coming to Australia, which I'm so flipping excited for. Like, I lost my shit when I found that out. And so basically, Sam Smith, they recently released a new music video. I lost the name of the music video. I had to like re-listen to the song in my head. I'm Not Here to Make Friends. That's right. And it was just, I didn't see any drama with it. It was just a sexy video in a castle, whatever. But all these people on social media, particularly Twitter, was shaming Sam Smith for the way that they were dressing. They were wearing this gorgeous white corset with these white nipple pasties, and there was a scene of them, I think it was like water spraying in their face and the back of their head, stuff like that. It wasn't that chaotic. Like, it was nothing. It really was not the, it really wasn't the most, like, I've seen, there's been some music videos that like go full on, and that was nothing. Like, it was just bit of fun, bit of sexy. Anyway, so the people on Twitter, there's been a lot of conversations on Twitter about people shaming Sam Smith and shaming their queerness and shaming their bodies. And this got me thinking about the whole that, and but the thing is, it wasn't just conservatives, it was also people in the queer community shaming Sam Smith, which still got me to thinking how, not only, as we discussed before, there is an acceptable fat person, there's an acceptable version of the person that, there is an acceptable version of what the body positive movement is, what a body positive person is, but there also is the acceptable version of what a queer person is. A queer person cannot be fat. A queer person cannot, oh, what did someone word it as? They worded it as like, oh, you know, like, it's, I'm fine with you being gay and all, but, you know, just don't, like, you know, rub it in my face or stuff like that. So, Sev, as someone that is a queer, non-binary drag artist, do you feel like you rub it in people's faces of your queerness with your drag?
Well, only if they pay extra.
And if they pay extra, yes.
If the tip's big enough, I'll rub anything they want in their faces. Look, this is a bullshit, ongoing nonsense. Right? Mm-hmm. The amount of scrutiny put on queer bodies is already so intense and so brutal. And this is like watching the LGBTQ plus like community cannibalize itself through Twitter discourse is just, you know, apparently it's one of our favorite pastimes. I am absolutely exhausted by it, but also I live for the drama. So obviously there is no way to be queer. There is no one way to be queer. There is no one way to present yourself. And I, for one, am super here for flamboyance, for campery, and it doesn't need to be styled to anyone's aesthetic preferences, right? You cannot like it. It cannot be your taste. Don't fucking wear it then. That's fine. You don't have to. There is no law that you now have to wear like nipple pasties and sequin jumpsuits and shit. You don't have to. I, on the other hand, I can love to. Oh. And I'm going to continue doing it. But look, this is the whole thing. Like, as a drag artist specifically, I've actually only been doing drag for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now. I think time is a complete lie. But I had been doing cabaret, burlesque, and other types of performance, musical performance, for, you know, more than a decade before that. So this is a thing I've been embroiled in the whole time. But I do, like, as a drag artist, it's my job most of the time to, outside of clubs where people already come and celebrate local queer culture. And this is a thing. People who have extreme opinions about what queer people do in the public eye, in their music videos, and in high budget movies and TV shows. So few of them, I can guarantee, have ever stepped foot inside their local drag bar. So few of them.
Yes! So freaking true. Oh.
I'm not saying there aren't plenty of drag bars out there that don't still only give platforms to, you know, cis white twinks in expensive wigs and sequin dresses. Like, it absolutely exists. There's a few in Mianjin. But there are also so many more drag events that showcase the most incredible variety of people, styles, body types, genders. It doesn't fucking matter. Every queer event that I go to, I am delighted to constantly be surrounded by such diversity.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the fiercest performers I know are plus size. Some of the fiercest performers I know are trans. Some of the fiercest performers I know have a type of like aesthetic style that borders on chaotic, ugly, and it's awesome. It's hot as fuck. Because, yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to look beautiful in a pageant gown sometimes? But it's not the be-all and end-all of this art form of expression and of queer joy. Anybody coming in to yuck somebody's yum when it comes to expressing themselves authentically with queer joy can get fucked. I just don't have time for it. And, yeah, like, my job as a drag performer, yeah, should just be being an artist, entertaining an audience, presenting fun things for them, and like keeping that party going, being the flagpole, so that, you know, the queers know where it's safe to be and where we can gather and where we're going to party. That should be the job. And yeah, I spend a lot of my time explaining to people that outside of those areas, that what I do is nothing like RuPaul's Drag Race. even Drag Race is like really trying its hardest to change its image over the last few years. We've had such celebration of trans bodies and, you know, fierce fat queens and the occasional sprinkling of macho drag, where we can enjoy drag king looks without actually giving any money to any drag kings. That's a different argument for another day. But
oh my goodness. Oh.
You know, like, yep. Sam Smith, I am not a pop music guy. That is no surprise to anybody. My music tastes just like my fashion sense got left in the late 90s, and like, I get it. That's just where I live emotionally.
I love that.
And pop music less my thing than metal and grunge, but the queer experience, and so much of my time spent in gay clubs over the last like 5-10 years, that every time I watch a rundown of like best pop songs of the year or whatever at the end of the year, I'm like, oh yeah, I do all know of these. How do I know all of these? Because I spent all my time in gay clubs. I have been forced to learn pop culture. And the thing that makes me delighted about Sam Smith Outrage is just like, it's the kind of queer representation that is designed to outrage a particular type of person.
Yeah.
I just hate seeing other queers buy into it. Yeah. I just hate, you know, like get that publicity from the same satanic panic crowd of right-wing boomers who want to complain about how everything's being rubbed in our faces and these degenerates these days. Like, yeah, absolutely. Piss those guys off. That's hilarious. Yeah. And also generates great publicity, great coverage. Like, yeah. I'm not even mad about it. But there's this sense of other queers judging what is right or wrong, how somebody should dress their fat body, or their you know, changing body, even just being in the public eye and going through any kind of body change is so actively scrutinized. Maybe we can just get back to the bit where like it's joyful and camp and art and expression, and we don't have to. I will also admit I haven't seen the video, and maybe I will go and watch it later and be like, oh, this is actually hideous and horrendous. But
oh, we'll be tame for you.
Yeah, if I do feel that, it certainly won't be about the outfit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I love what you said though about with the queer community and with Drag Race, they'll have all these opinions, yet they don't support local artists. As someone that is a Drag Race fan, I love Drag Race so much. It has been very upsetting to see, although not surprising, it's been going on for bloody years and just been getting worse and worse every single season with the show and as they expand with the franchises, how often people just don't understand drag as they watch it. Like, say, if there's two drag artists that are, you know, talking to each other in a way that might not be the normal way, like between, like, you know, in an office setting or something like that, then if it's nothing like that, then it's like, oh my god, they hate each other, even though this was 1 year ago. Oh my god, this is a monstrosity. And And it's gotten to the point so far, like even a queen from the latest episode, their platform has been taken down and they are a fat queen and they already would struggle with getting a platform as it is because they're a fat drag artist. It's just so upsetting and just tiresome and honestly boring that queer people are taking down other queer people because they're not the acceptable queer type, or they happen to be disabled, they happen to be trans, they happen to be fat. Like, it's just disappointing and it's just boring. Like, as you said, if it's conservatives giving us shit, like, absolutely, I'm here for it. Like, it's just funny. But when it's, like, part of the queer community, it's just...
Oh, like, this is the thing, you don't have to love it. You don't have to love everyone, artist, every style. It doesn't have to be for you.
Mm.
I fully support that. There's some shit that is just not my taste. And that doesn't mean anything about how talented, skilled, incredible, beautiful these performers are. Yeah. It's literally just like, that's not my bag, but that's okay because I'm going to step outside and vape for 5 minutes or go to the bar or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll be back in 5 minutes for a different act that might be absolutely fucking incredible. And that's the thing with diverse casting. Like, it's not just about diversity of, you know, quotas, but like of expression.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
To conclude today's podcast episode, myself and my guests normally share our fave fat-friendly finds of the week. And I am very keen to hear what your suggestions are. As someone that is in the queer scene, that's also in the arts and the drag scene, I'm very keen to hear what are some of your recommendations of fave fat-friendly finds that actually cater to the plus-size community?
So I was thinking about this. I have two that I'd really like to shout out. And one is a business and one is a service, right? So I really loved that a little while ago I heard you shout out Amore Binders here in Australia. Yes. Huge appreciate, their stuff is amazing. For my fellows who pack, there is an incredible company called mypackftm.com. MyPack, they make the MyPack strap. They also make packers. For anyone who doesn't know, packing is the art of using any form of molded or makeshift false phallus. And a pack strap is a piece of underwear or under underwear that holds that in place underneath your clothing so that you don't have to go through the same embarrassment that I have been through many times in gay club bathrooms of just trying to have a drunk piss and taking my underwear off and having my dick literally fall out of my pants and onto the floor and flop roll under the stall into the next cubicle.
Just stop. For some, like,
more than once, Demi. Just for some, like, really lovely gay just trying to do his business in private and, like, have a bump of coke.
Yeah.
Just be like, mate, I think you dropped your dick. Thank you so much. No more questions asked. So my pack strap is designed so that never has to happen. And what I really, really love about them is that not only do they already go up to a reasonably sized 3XL, they also invite you, if you would like custom sizing above that, all you have to do is leave it in the comments. They will make it custom with no extra charges that I can see. And that just, that's really delightful to me because as a fat trans person, trans masculine, non-binary person, particularly finding binders and pack straps that work for me has been really difficult. And there have only been a few companies that I felt really provided access to those things for me. So definitely my pack strap. Very cool. Now, the other side is that I don't always bind. Sometimes I wear a bra. Most of the time I wear nothing at all because this is Queensland and it's hot. And
this also, heat is disgusting. Oh. I'm the worst human being when it gets hot. Oh, my God.
Properly filthy, disgusting hot here. I gave up wearing bras a long time ago, not because I didn't like the look of it sometimes, but just because I'm also one of my conditions causes a lot of pain in my ribs, ankylosing spondylitis can cause like some really intense crushing rib pain that sometimes makes it feels like my ribs are trying to pop through my own lungs. Not my favorite, would not recommend it.
Not my favorite.
Sometimes wearing a binder can be an absolute nightmare. Sometimes wearing basically all the time it got to wearing a bra became an absolute nightmare. And I also just got sick of the experiences I was having, not just as a trans person, but just as a fat person in a capitalist society when I'm already at the highest end, or I thought I was at the highest end of like the plus size bras that were available to me. And feeling like I was kind of getting pressure sold, conned on bras when I was going for fittings, because even, you know, the City Chics and the Big Girls Don't Cry kind of brands of this world were still just like, oh, no, we can shove you in there. Look, that fits, that works. And I, you know.
It was,
you know,
stretch. What, it was stretch. After a few washes, it was stretch.
Exactly that line. It's like, oh, I know it doesn't touch the middle right now, but like this needs time to stretch and mold to your body and shit. And the feels. You know what it's, yeah, right. And you know what it's like, because it's not like we're buying $12 Kmart bras, right? I couldn't buy a bra for less than $100 unless it was like a City Chic members deal or whatever. These are expensive pieces you're having to invest in every time. And almost every time I was getting home, and even if the bra was beautiful and I was excited for how it was going to make me feel and look, they never fucking fit. Yeah. It literally never fit. And even when I had someone fit me, they didn't fit. When I went to, you know, independent stores, didn't fit. And I just, it was too much pain and too much stress and I just gave the fuck up. And then very, very recently, I stumbled across a bra that fits. This is literally a website called A Bra That Fits. It's called A Bra That Fits Calculator. The website is abrathatfits.org. It has the most unique measuring system I've ever seen.
Okay.
So not only does it take your standard measurements without wearing a bra, you take your underbust and your overbust measurements, it also has a bent over at a right angle hanging measurement and a lying down on your back width spread measurement.
Oh, I love them. Oh my God.
And then you input all of that data into the website and it spits out your bra sizing based on, you know, a database of collected information. And the number it spat out for me, I was like, well, that's why no bras ever fucking fit before. I don't even know if they make those in Australia. I literally couldn't find, even the Australian stockists who have large sizes, like did not have this band and cup size in stock.
Yeah.
Found a store in England, ordered myself a bra completely blind using these measurements, a thing that I know from experience never works. And the first bra I ordered using this measurement technique I put on, I was like, oh shit, have I literally never worn a bra that fits before? Because this is a completely different experience.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So I can't recommend it enough for literally anybody who wants to buy a bra at any size. And I've since gone and looked at their Reddit and a lot of the community and conversation around there, and seeing that it has been a massive help for a lot of trans women who don't necessarily have access to anywhere they would feel safe going and getting fitted in person, people who live rurally and don't have access to that, and just people like me who are a weird, unstockable or just huge fucking size who don't even know where to start. Can't recommend it enough, abrathatfits.org.
I am literally going to that as soon as we finish this chat. I am so keen because, yes, I struggle too, because so often I will put on a bra and then I'll be like, I swear this fit last week, or put on the bra that's the same size from a different store and it doesn't fit as well. It's just because my boobs, they go, they're like, they've dropped, obviously, because I'm reaching my 30s. They've dropped, but they've somehow like gone towards my armpit area. They're kind of like, so like the dropping area makes such a difference then with cup sizes and stuff like that. So I'm so, so keen.
Oh yeah, please do. I really think it was those extra measuring steps, like, because I have very large chest. It's always been very full, but I'm also like in my mid 30s, and have like massive hormone fluctuations. So like I have dropped, I have had some looseness in the top. I go out on the wide. The difference between me wearing a bra and not wearing a bra, like for somebody with such a large chest, because the rest of me is quite large, when I bind, there's kind of enough of me to make binding give quite a good flat feeling and illusion, even on my like very large chest, just because my shoulders are so big and my, you know, the rest of me is so big, it kind of balances out. But the difference between, you know, how flat my boobs can go in that way, but also then putting on a, you know, an underwire bra that fits, and suddenly the projection I have because of the amount of time I have so far forward. I love it. Like, it's actually, I feel like a bit of a genderqueer superhero where I can just be like, today I'm wearing my battle tits today.
I love it so much. You're just like, oh, I'm not really feeling tits today, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I fully intend, after getting top surgery, a thing I'm, you know, very seriously considering at this stage. Mm-hmm. I fully intend, after I get top surgery, to buy a big silicone breastplate so I can still do big tit drag, because like that aesthetic I adore, but you know, taking your bra off at the end of the day is already such a great feeling. I can't wait to just like unstrap the whole silicone weight of the tits and just be done with it.
Yeah. Just like, don't drop your breasts though in the toilet though. Just don't drop your breasts though.
Yeah. I don't know if they would flop and roll under the stool quite as well as just my Mr. Limpy.
Oh, I'm just imagining like a breastplate just like, actually, you know what? In the gay bars, especially in Brizzy here, I can definitely imagine a breastplate just chilling in the bathroom corner or something like that.
Honestly, the things you see in those dressing rooms.
Oh. Breastplates are least of people's worries, yeah. Oh. Well, my recommendations are, I need to bring it up on my phone because I cannot remember anything for the life of me. So there are a lot of plus size dedicated events coming up across Australia this month and next month, which is so exciting, which is so awesome. And one of them that I do want to mention is Big Thick Energy. They're collaborating with a curvy market in New South Wales and also in Victoria. So I definitely would check out Big Thick Energy on Instagram, and they're just fabulous. And they're collaborating with A Plus Markets in early February, and then the Radically Soft Markets, which is in Sydney, in late February. And there's just so many amazing curvy dedicated events coming up. Not only that, there's also Adelaide. They're having some curvy markets as well. So it's, yeah, pre-loved stuff, and then also brands as well. They're having some events coming up in February. So it's just, it's just nice. Finally, we're finally getting some plus size dedicated events. It's just nice. More places for the fat bitches. I'm loving it. Oh, yes.
100%. And look, while we're shouting out here in Me and Jin, coming up soon, there is a new show. I'm not involved with it personally. I just love to see it. It's called Curvesque Burlesque.
Yes.
A show entirely of curvy, plus size, fat performers celebrating larger bodies. Their tagline is just like big, bold, burlesque. And I love that. I love to see it. And I think as an audience member, I'm so excited for the energy in that room. I just love that unashamed celebration of the just like power, beauty, and sexuality of fat bodies. That's, you know, the thing I'm most passionate about. The thing I feel like is my calling in this world is not just, you know, talk shit about my feelings about things, but like I want people to leave my shows and leave these shows with a sense of sexy, powerful, beautiful people don't have any one body type, any one look. And yeah, just more celebration with big, beautiful, bold artists.
Thank you so much, my dear, for coming onto today's show. I greatly appreciate it. I greatly appreciate hearing your stories, hearing your perspectives, and just learning so much from you as well. So I just greatly appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Demi. Super appreciate it.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to today's podcast episode. All this information that we've just rambled out at you, that we've just thrown at you, will be in today's show notes. And yes, please give Sev a follow on Instagram and check out the upcoming events. And I just greatly appreciate you all for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed our chat, please give us a rating, a review, and please also subscribe wherever you're listening to today's podcast. I will see you all next week. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast was sponsored by Peach the Label, Australia's go-to destination for mid and plus-size fashion. We at Fat and Eyes pay our respect to the traditional custodians of the Meanjin land. This land is and always will be Aboriginal land.